Blog Talk Radio.
So I'm gon' dap you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the last real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. Please don't make me slap you with the left, the left. You a fake, so I'm gon' dap you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the last real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. God, please protect me if this shit go left. Cause I can cook a kilo by my goddamn self. In the kitchen, water with it.
Son of a bitch.
I don't know women, but I know who got the milk.
What it do, people? What it do, what it do? Alright.
Cause I can lock a truck down by myself.
There's a lot to get to today. Obviously, we have the sad news from last night. I'll lead it off with that here in just a second. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. I think 98% of you know what I'm referring to, but again, we'll dive into it. But there's quite a bit of other news today as well. We're going to talk a little bit about Trump's commerce secretary, who apparently has an IQ of 32. He's one of the dumbest guys I've ever heard speak in my life, and you're going to hear it as well. He did an interview with CNBC. Probably a poor move, poor decision on his part. He may be regretting it this moment. Also, we got some leaks on Trump's budget. We'll cover Trump's entire budget in detail tomorrow because it actually just came out before I came on air. Probably came out like last night at some point. But I have some facts from Trump's new budget, and we're just going to highlight how big of a hypocrite he is because it's incredible. And we've got some more from Trump's trip overseas. Melania Trump has never hated anybody more than she hates her husband. That's unsurprising news to people. And MSNBC, what? MSNBC is making a charge for numero uno. And we're going to explain why that is horrific. Why that should scare the pants off of everybody. So let's go ahead and get started. Let's jump into it. And bad news, here we come. There was a terror attack in Manchester last night. It was at an Ariana Grande concert. And the facts here are just absolutely gut-wrenching. So as of right now, as of this recording, 22 people are dead. Last night, the number was 19, and that ticked up. Some people were taken to the hospital, many people with life-threatening injuries. And some of them indeed lost their life. I wouldn't be surprised if that 22 casualty number rises more as time goes by. Here's what the New York Times says about this. The Islamic State claimed responsibility on Tuesday for the bombing at Manchester Arena, the deadliest terrorist assault in Britain since 2005, as the death toll rose to 22. The bomb tore through an entrance hall of the 21,000-seat Manchester Arena at about 10:30 p.m. on Monday, as a concert by the American pop star Ariana Grande was ending and as crowds of teenagers had begun to leave, many for an adjacent train station. The pandemonium ensued as panicked adolescents struggled to connect with parents and guardians waiting outside to pick them up. As well as those killed, dozens of other people were wounded in the attack. 59 were hospitalized, some with life-threatening injuries. The police said that they were canvassing leads and poring over surveillance footage to determine if the assailant, who died in the assault, had acted with any accomplices. Shortly before noon on Tuesday, the police announced that they had arrested a 23-year-old man southwest of the city center with regards to last night's incident, but they did not provide additional details. Okay, so CBS News has the most gut-wrenching fact about this. They reported late last night that it's confirmed that many of the 22 who are dead are indeed a group of young girls, a group of girls who are, teenagers. So this is as disgusting as it gets. It's the worst kind of an attack. again, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw this number increase in terms of the dead. Now, they weren't sure. Originally, they thought it was a suicide bomber. Then all the articles started saying it was an actual bomb. When ISIS claimed responsibility, they said it was a bomb, it was a device. But then there's also articles that talk about how they picked up the pieces of the person who did the bombing. So there's a little bit of confusion as to whether it was a suicide bomber or whether it was an improvised explosive device, a bomb that they left there and then walked away. But either way, the evidence thus far and the fact that ISIS takes responsibility points to this being terrorism. And a lot of people last night on Twitter were expressing shock and awe, of course, but also just confusion over the idea that, well, why would you target an Ariana Grande concert? Like, of all the places to target, it's not like, hey, we're going to get revenge against the crusaders and the imperialists who are on our lands, and so we're going to go attack in an area where the army is, for example. No, they didn't. They attacked an Ariana Grande concert. And there's actually there's a simple explanation for that. In our Ariana Grande concert, what you have is a young pop star who, you know, many of the songs have sexual undertones and sexual innuendo, and to Muslim fundamentalists, to terrorists, they look at that as a symbol of the decadence of the West and the opulence and, you know, the immorality of the West. They look at that and they see, well, this is the epitome of that which is not holy and not wholesome and not just and not the path of Allah. And again, to me, the grossest aspect of that is they're always so convinced that they're the moral ones and regular people doing regular things, living regular lives, just being happy are the immoral ones, that they murder people over it. They kill people. They do terrorist attacks. You would think that they were like, okay, pump your brakes a little bit here, fella. If you're so convinced that that's immoral, well, wouldn't it be way more immoral to massacre little girls who were just out having a good time, enjoying their lives? They had their lives ahead of them. They could have done anything. They could have gone down so many different paths. They're not hurting anybody. They're not doing anything wrong. So it's always, there's always this mentality among, in this case, Muslim fundamentalists who think we are holier than thou by definition. So, you know, when we literally take sex slaves, when we torture people, when we murder people, it is the moral thing to do. Only in a totally warped and brainwashed mentality can that be the case. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people who've totally drunk the Kool-Aid. We're dealing with literalists. We're dealing with people who have lost all contact with objective reality, and they view everything through the lens of, you know, here are my rigid rules. Here's what I'm going to do in the service of my God. Well, I got news for you. If that's something your God would support, fuck your God. Your God is useless. Your God's a piece of shit. Your God supports the murder, the massacre of innocent little girls who just had the time of their life. So it's just, it's as bad as it gets, man. And I do find it disgusting that it was, what, the day before we decided to give $110 billion worth of arms to Saudi Arabia. Now, let's be clear, we still don't even know exactly who the perpetrators were in this instance in terms of the names, so we don't have the backstory yet. But the reality is, and we've covered these stories endlessly, when we arm Saudi Arabia, they take take many of those weapons. Well, some of them they just use to bomb Yemen nonstop and kill civilians and blockade the country and all that stuff. But a lot of those weapons, they funnel to Syria, to jihadists and Islamists on the ground to fight against the Syrian government. Well, the speculation so far in this instance is that in the article they bring up in the New York Times how there's like 400 to 600 fighters, rebels who just returned from Syria. And they said, yeah, intelligence agencies are stretched thin trying to keep up with the surveillance on the people who we know were people of interest, who, you know, were likely doing jihad in Syria. So think about that. $110 billion worth of weapons to Saudi Arabia. Many of those weapons and a lot of that money ends up funneling its way to jihadists in Syria. Also in Yemen, by the way, they arm al-Qaeda on the ground. So you have our top ally who we keep backing, keep helping, keep giving weapons and money. They funnel it directly to the jihadists, and then jihadists infiltrate places like England, and they blow shit up. And then everybody afterwards comes, oh, man, tisk, tisk, this is terrible. What a horrible tragedy this is. Yes, but do something with policy to address it. If we cut off the arms and funding for Saudi Arabia, you probably see a gigantic drop overnight in the effect that jihadists can have because they no longer have the weaponry that they need to carry out their barbaric attacks. I mean, also, as we've discussed, Saudi Arabia says, no, we're not going to take any Syrian refugees, but it's okay. All of you can go to Europe, and then we'll build Salafi mosques for you there. We're not going to take any, but we'll build the most extreme mosques possible and push you into Europe. And then, oh, wow, look at that. There was an attack in Europe. Yeah, because the fucking game is rigged. The way the rules are written right now and the people who we arm and fund and give help to, I mean, it's unconscionable. So you wanna cut back on attacks like this? We know the policy changes we have to make. Policy number one would be, okay, stop arming and funding Saudi Arabia. I'm not saying you got to go to war with them. Of course not. But you just say, hey, let's have a more neutral relationship here, maybe sanction them. But no, we're going to keep going down that path and keep funding worldwide jihad, and this is the result. The result is what appears to be a senseless act of violence. Because, hey, an Ariana Grande concert, little girls having fun. No, to the mind of a brainwashed Muslim fundamentalist, they go, no, I'm going to attack them because that is the symbol of all that is wrong. I think you're the symbol of all that is wrong. I think when you have little girls who are just living their life, not bothering anybody, they're happy, and then you have jihadists who think they're so convinced that they're right and so convinced that they're moral that they're going to murder you for it. Yeah, I think they're the ones who are wrong, they're the ones who are immoral, unethical, and they're the ones who are frankly idiotic. Okay, terribly sad story. Terribly sad. Okay, now let's move on to the Commerce Secretary. God, this guy's incredible. I have a clip here for you. Okay, here we go. So our Commerce Secretary is a guy named Wilbur Ross, and he's one of the dumbest people in the country. I say that jokingly, but not really, as you're about to see. So we did an interview with CNBC, and listen to what he said about Trump's Saudi Arabia trip.
Back from the region is Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross. He joins us right now. Mr. Secretary, thank you for being here today. Obviously, a lot of deals that were cut in Saudi Arabia. Why don't you lay out what happened, set the backdrop for this, and how these deals were able to come together?
Well, I think the backdrop is that it isn't just commercial deals and it isn't just military deals. I think the most impressive part of the whole thing was the assembly late yesterday afternoon of the leaders of most all the Muslim countries in the world, with the exception of Iran and Syria. That's the first time, to my knowledge, that there's been that unified an effort between the leaders in the Muslim world and the United States. And the excitement among those world leaders was totally palpable.
Totally palpable in terms of a changing relationship with us?
Yes, and the enthusiasm with which they greeted the remarks. King Salman spoke first, then the president delivered, I thought, a wonderful speech. The major theme both of King Salman's speech and the president's was about terrorism and about the united effort of those represented in the room to combat it. Then there were several follow-on speeches by various leaders of the other Muslim countries. So whatever question anybody might have had about is the bulk of the Islamic world unified with the United States in this effort, this should put that to rest totally.
Do you understand what he's saying there? His argument is, we were in a room with a bunch of world leaders of Muslim nations, and the king of Saudi Arabia went up and gave a speech that was against terrorism. So if anybody was concerned that maybe Saudi Arabia isn't a partner in peace, well, that those concerns should be put to rest, because I was there. He was in the room. And that the speech was, you know, was something else. Good speech. Good speech. So I wouldn't worry. They're definitely a partner in fighting terrorism. I saw the speech. Wilbur, there's no way that any human being on this planet could be as stupid as you just expose yourself as being. That really is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. So a speech overrides actual actions? I don't give a fuck what they say in the speech. They can say anything they want in the speech. What are they doing? What are their policies? How are they acting? You're in a country where a king just gave a speech. By the way, red flag right there. Pump your brakes, son. There's a king giving a speech. I thought that the U.S. was all freedom and democracy.
Yeah, that's what we spread freedom and democracy around the world, and if you're not a democracy, well, then you're our enemy, and we need to try to spread freedom and democracy, unless terms and conditions apply. Because if you have oil and you have business deals with us, well, then we're just going to look the other way, and we're going to pretend you're good guys, even though you are clearly not. You're an absolute monarchy and a theocracy. He's ranting about how moderate Saudi Arabia is and how liberal and how they're becoming more liberal. Meanwhile, women still can't drive in the country. You have a guardianship system where they control the women at all times. They behead people in the public square, and they behead them for things like apostasy and sorcery and witchcraft and drug smuggling, and they say all atheists are terrorists, and they have official discrimination against all different minorities. And you're going to, well, they gave a speech, and they were anti-terror in the speech, so I believe it. Look at what they're doing. Look, they're doing a genocide in Yemen right now. They're killing women and children all the time. They're bombing mosques. They're bombing hospitals. They're bombing schools. They're bombing schools for the blind. They're bombing open-air markets. They're using cluster bombs that we gave them. And by the way, that's illegal under international law to use cluster bombs, to make cluster bombs, but we do it anyway, and we don't care. So, hey, we're above the law. Who gives a fuck? They're doing a blockade of Yemen right now. They don't even allow humanitarian aid in sometimes. So there's at least 14 million people starving. The numbers range from 14 million to 17 million. And you're up there talking, well, yeah, he gave a speech, and the speech was nice, and he said flowery words, and he said, I'm against terrorism in the speech. So that should put to rest anything you've ever felt. Are you this stupid, or are you just a liar? Are you this stupid, or are you a liar, Wilbur Ross? Unfortunately, I think the answer is he's that stupid. Because we're going to get to another clip in a little bit where he's talking. And also, I don't, like, what the fucking Mr. Magoo, slow ass, like, I was in Saudi Arabia with Trump, and I saw speech, it should put to rest. You might want to tell the doc to lighten up your Xanax load, because good googly moogly, that guy's brain is moving at 0.3 miles an hour. This is the Commerce Secretary. What a dunce. This is... They're a partner. I heard a speech. They're a partner in peace now. What? It's all business interests override everything. So we did a $400 billion economic deal with them, $110 billion weapons deal. We're going to keep selling this terror state weaponry. They go, jobs. There were jobs. And jobs are good, right? I like jobs and stuff.
I don't care that they're slaughtering people and that they're a terror state. Fuck you, Wilbur Ross. These are the people who are running our country. That guy's running our country. Yeah, think about that one for a while. Okay. I'm not done with this guy, Wilbur Ross. I got another one for you. The Commerce Secretary went with Donald Trump to Saudi Arabia on his overseas trip, and he explained on CNBC why he thinks the Saudi government is so great.
There's no question that they're liberalizing their society. And I think the other thing that was fascinating to me, there was not a single hint of a protester anywhere there during the whole time we were there. Not one guy with a bad placard. Instead,
but Secretary Ross, that may be not necessarily because they don't have those feelings there, but because they control people and don't allow them to come and express their feelings quite the same as we do here.
In theory, that could be true, but boy, there was certainly no sign of it. There was not a single effort at any incursion. There wasn't anything. The mood was a genuinely good mood. And at the end of the trip, as I was getting back on the plane, the security guards from the Saudi side who'd been helping us over the weekend all wanted to pose for a big photo op, and then they gave me two gigantic bushels of dates as a present, a thank you for the trip that we had had. That was a pretty from-the-heart, very genuine gesture, and it really touched me.
This guy is on a legendary level of stupid. I mean, he's Guinness Book World Record stupid. He's like a stereotypical American dumbass who's clueless, who's like, I went on the propaganda tour, and I think these are nice folks. Yeah, it was a genuine gesture. Some young fucking guards in Saudi Arabia who gave you dates. They're giving it to you because they really like you and they really got their great, yes, strong bond with you and you're their buddy and, oh, it touched me deep down because nobody here has touched me in 17 years. I'm Wilbur Ross. Are you that stupid? They gave me dates. They're good friends. I'll overlook the fact that Saudi Arabia arms jihadists all around the world and is massacring women and children in Yemen. They are my buddy. Yay. He's so incredibly stupid. And I honestly think, like, that was a genuine thought he had about how, oh, there are no protesters. Isn't that wonderful? They are an absolute monarchy and a theocracy and an authoritarian tyranny. They don't allow protesters. If somebody protests, their ass will be thrown in jail, and actually what's more likely is they'll be killed. We've covered stories of Shia activists who they put to death. So you can't, not only can you not protest, you can't protest anything, like nothing. Hey, I would like minorities to have a few more rights. Put them in jail, maybe kill them. It was really nice. There were no protests. This is how these guys wish America was. This, you know, this uber wealthy, out of touch, elitist loser who doesn't know anything. He would love, like, he looks at fucking Occupy Wall Street. He's like, ah, damn hippies, go get a job. Get back to your peasant tenement homes. Why don't you just go serve the rich people and give me dates? Give me dates so I can like you. Man, that'd be such a kind gesture. What a rube this guy is. What a dunderhead, a blockhead this guy is. I can't believe he really made those points. Even the CNBC hosts. CNBC is arguably worse than Fox News in their propaganda. This is a financial expert channel. None of the hosts saw the subprime mortgage crisis and the Great Recession happening. They all thought, oh, market's going to rebound. It's not going to be a downturn. Bubbles aren't real. Supply-side economics. They don't know anything. But this host was like, wait, you're saying the fact that there were protests is a good sign. That's uniquely American. First Amendment. Hey, go out there and protest and have your voice heard and try to make political changes. That's the most American thing. This guy's like, isn't it great that there were no protests? Isn't it wonderful when there's an authoritarian regime and nobody could talk except me and rich people? Yeah, isn't that great? I really just think he's this dumb. And so I have a conclusion based off this, that you know how we always have the discussion, are they stupid or is it like nefarious? In the case of Wilbur Ross, and this leads me to believe in the case of many other people in the government, they're just stupid. So like, for example, the countless times that we've engaged in arming jihadists, whether it be the Mujahideen under Ronald Reagan in the 1980s to fight the big bad Soviet Union, whether it be now in Syria, how sometimes we arm them directly, or sometimes we do it through Saudi Arabia and through Turkey. A lot of people would say, and I would say this is a reasonable opinion, sometimes I feel this way, they go, yeah, no, the U.S. knows they're doing it, and they're doing it on purpose, and they don't care. No, but like Wilbur Ross's comments here leave me to believe that they just don't, like, they're just that stupid where they're like, all of the rebels in Syria are moderate. Let's give it to iwanttodojihad13@gmail.com, and then he will bring about a free and open Syria. Let's arm jihadists because they will not turn their weapons on us. Like, with a guy like Wilbur Ross, he's that dumb where he's like, I don't know what's the problem. We give weapons to Saudi Arabia. I don't see what... Saudi Arabia is great. They gave me dates. What do you want me to tell you? So of course, yeah, sure, arm them. It's totally fine. I love that. They're good people. They were nice to me. They're good people. It's like when Petraeus said, we should arm al-Qaeda in Syria. He said that. He argued that. There was a big story about that. A lot of people were like, what? I think that Petraeus might be a guy like Wilbur Ross who's just stupid. Who's like, we want to beat ISIS, right? Well, al-Qaeda and ISIS fight, so arm al-Qaeda. And we want to beat Assad, right? Well, al-Qaeda will fight Assad too, so they'll fight. It's a win-win. Al-Qaeda will fight Assad and they'll fight ISIS. So let's arm al-Qaeda. The geniuses, the supposed geniuses in our system running our government, these are the thoughts they have. This is how deep it goes. It's so beyond pathetic that we need a new word for it. Okay. I think I want to do one more. And we'll make it about Donald Trump's budget. So let me remind you what President Trump said about the issue of Medicare and Medicaid when he was candidate Trump. So there were some leaks of parts of President Trump's new budget that came out last night. We're going to do a more thorough and complete breakdown of his budget on Thursday. But let me give you a little piece of it, and you'll see what I mean about just how much of a hypocrite he is. So here's what he said back during the campaign about Medicare and Medicaid. I was the first and only potential GOP candidate to state there will be no cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Huckabee copied me. Yeah, and that's actually true. He repeatedly said on the campaign trail, I'm not going to cut them. You've paid into them. You've paid into them your whole life. For me to cut them would be stealing from you. I'm not going to do that. We're going to find a way to fully fund those programs, and that's that. And we're going to stop doing military adventurism and save some money that way. We're going to save some money this way, yada, yada, yada. He said it over and over. Well, now Trump's new budget, here's what's in it. Whoops, $800 billion in Medicaid cuts. $800 billion. Now, let me explain something. It's not just $800 billion in Medicaid cuts. It's $800 billion plus another $880 billion because this $800 billion is separate from the $880 billion cut that Trump proposed in Trump Care, his health care bill, his Obamacare replacement. So think about that. What are we talking about here? He said on the campaign trail over and over, I'm not going to cut it. I'm not going to cut it. I'm just not going to cut it. It's not going to happen. I'm not cutting Medicare. I'm not cutting Medicaid. I'm not cutting Social Security. It's not going to happen. Well, now we learn it's over $1.6 trillion. $1.6 trillion in cuts that he proposed for Medicaid. There's no other interpretation. There's no way to spin this that's positive or slightly less negative. He's just a fucking liar. That's what he is. That's what it is. I don't give a fuck how much, oh yeah, Trump train, MAGA bitch, make America great again, make your mind function again. Because there's no wiggling out of this, man. This is as clear cut a lie as there is. Now maybe at the end of the day he doesn't get these cuts through, or doesn't get all of the cuts through, but he said on the campaign, I'm not going to cut it, not going to do it, and now he's proposing exactly that, which means if he had his druthers, this would pass, this would be law, his budget would be in place, his health care bill would be in place, which would mean over $1.6 trillion in Medicaid cuts, when he said, I'm not going to cut Medicaid. So, I mean, guys, I'm amazed that there are still people who would defend him and what he's in the process of doing, and I'm also amazed that anybody thinks he has any kind of moral core or guiding principle. He has nothing. There's no moral core. There's no guiding principles. There's no actual beliefs there. He's just ethically and morally adrift. He's out there, you know, oscillating in the wind. He's just an amorphous blob of nothing in terms of his thoughts and his beliefs. And wherever the winds slightly happen to blow him, I know it's gross, I just said the words blow him, he ends up going in that direction. So when he was on the campaign trail and he's in front of the rally crowds, who's he trying to please? He's trying to please the rally crowds. So what do you do when you're trying to please rally crowds? Tell them what they want to hear. What do they want to hear? They want to hear, hey, crooked Hillary, lock her up, and I'm not. Let's do infrastructure bills and rebuild the middle class, and don't outsource jobs, don't do TPP. Don't cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, because even the Republican base, they're economically populist. They don't want their job to be shipped overseas. So Trump was that. He knew that. He's out there saying, yeah, let's be protectionist. Let's bring back tariffs. But that's just all talk. It's all talk because that's who he's in front of. Now, who's he surrounded by 24/7? He's surrounded by the elite, the establishment. He's got four Goldman Sachs guys in top positions in his administration. Who's he going to try to please? He's going to try to please them. He's going to try to please the neocons in the deep state who run the military-industrial complex who are now running our foreign policy. He's going to try to please the generals. So Mr. Anti-Establishment, it was just because he was sensing the mood in the room at the rallies and he was running with it. Well, now that he's behind closed doors, it's time for me to be a serious president. And what does a serious president do? They let the establishment get away with whatever they want to get away with. That's the path of least resistance when you're behind those doors in the Oval Office. So that's exactly what he's doing. What does the establishment want? Over $1.6 trillion in cuts to Medicaid because, fucking poor people and their health care. Fuck them. Fuck them. Who cares about them? Let's give more tax cuts to Goldman Sachs and to the rich and to corporations. Wouldn't that be great? And that's exactly who he's serving. Make America great again by cutting $1.6 trillion in health care from poor people. You should feel like a chump. You should feel like a sucker if you fell for it, because that's exactly what you are. Okay. Waka flocka flame, bitch. All right, you know what? I lied. I'm going to do one more story real fast before the break. Okay. Let me set this up for you. This next story isn't necessarily serious. In fact, it's not serious at all. I just find it hilarious. So Trump is on a trip overseas. First he was in Saudi Arabia, then he's in Israel, and he's going to the Vatican This is when he was in Israel. And look at what happened when he reached out to try to hold his wife's hand. It gives me life how much she despises him. Have you guys seen the video or the GIF, whatever. I'm going with GIF. GIF is what it is. Of Melania at the inauguration when Trump is like laughing and he's up there and, you know, hey, I'm president, isn't this great? And he turns around for a second and, like, gives one of these to Ivanka and Melania. And Melania, when he turns around, she smiles like. And then the second he turns his head away from her, her face just turns to death. And it's like, fuck you, I want to stab you in your sleep until you bleed out. Just this look of, like, you are disgusting. Man, the thing is, like, who can blame her? I mean, in the course of the campaign, we learned there were so many stories, so many women who came out and said, yeah, he grabbed me by the pussy, and he didn't wait, and he didn't ask for consent, and I didn't like it. He thought I liked it. I didn't like it. There was him on tape saying that, you know, talking about, people forget, he was talking about trying to fuck some host or something, you know, and this was when I think he was already with Melania, or if he, I don't know if he's married her yet or if it was just before they were married, but they were together, and Melania had to hear this guy, who she's now married to, talk about, like, yeah, I try to fuck him, I buy him furniture, it's tremendous, believe me. You know, the story. There was another story, we covered it, of there was some female reporter who was doing some magazine exclusive, and she had to talk to Trump, and Trump put the moves on her, and you know, Melania, I don't know if she, I don't think she, I honestly genuinely think that she didn't think he was unfaithful, or if she knew he was a dog, it wasn't to this extent. It wasn't like, oh, really? That's what you're going to do? Fucking behind closed doors, put the moves on a reporter when I'm like two rooms over, you scumbag. And remember, when Trump first moved into the White House, everybody's like, oh, yeah, no, Melania's staying in New York with Barron for a while. And everybody, you know, the stories are, oh, Barron's finishing school. That's why they're there. You think that's the only reason? You think that's the only reason why she's like, yeah, we're going to stay in New York here? Do I have to explain to you anything about marriage here and life? That, you know, how old is Barron's young? So you know what you do with a kid that young when daddy becomes president? All right, bitch, you're done with this school. Come on. You're going to school in D.C. Duh. File that under. Duh. What, am I going to have the first lady all the way in New York in the middle of the city and the president in Washington? We're going to do that, really? Spend fucking millions of dollars a day in costs for security and protecting her and them? No, you wouldn't do that unless it's not just about the school, unless it's about, you know what, go fuck yourself. You know, you're not a good person. I don't like you. And the pieces of evidence keep piling up. There's another one of her slapping away his hand. There's the story we covered about how she liked a tweet that said, that was like saying fuck you to Trump, basically. That was like a put down of Trump. But then she ended up like unliking it. And so that, you know, later on she'd be, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't like that. But people screen captured her when she had liked it. So, yeah, man, I feel bad for her. I do. You know, people bring up, yeah, but she's a conservative asshole too, and she's a hypocrite because she's got in here because of immigration laws, and now they want to fucking burn the bridge behind them that she just walked over. Yeah, I get all that. Hypocrite, don't agree with her politically, but she's married to a goon who she despises. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems crystal clear to me. I mean, how would you, if anybody out there, guy, girl, whatever, how would you feel if you're married to this guy? Even if you, for whatever insane reason, agree with him politically, if that's possible, because he contradicts himself every 8 seconds, how would you feel if this was your partner? How would you feel about that? Would you be, oh, I love him so much. No, not possible. The guy's a buffoon, the guy's a clown, the guy's a narcissist, and the evidence keeps piling up. Again, not serious, it has nothing to do with policy and any of that shit, you know. Because it's, of course it's possible for somebody to be a scumbag in their private life, but be an awesome president. Donald Trump is really neither, keep it real, but this is just a side story, a nonsense personal story. I just found it fucking hilarious that there's just so much evidence that she's like, I hate you. Okay. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about InfoWars, and MSNBC and how they're doing in the ratings. Waka waka. All right, stay right there, guys. We'll be right back.
I didn't want to hear.
so won't come jack you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the left, a nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. Please don't make me slap you with the left, the left. You will fake, so won't come jack you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the left, a nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left.
All right, we're back, baby. Here we go. Waka, waka, waka. I keep saying that now. I don't know why, but it's not going to stop, and you're going to have to deal with it. This is not a joke. This is not The Onion. InfoWars now officially has White House press credentials. Now, the story is a little more complicated than that, and I'll get into it here for you. But this is Jerome Corsi, Washington Bureau Chief of InfoWars. He said, "We have White House press credentials. I'm in the White House, May 22nd, 2017. Now, at first, InfoWars wrote an article about this, of course, and Jerome Corsi, obviously, as you can see, tweeted about it. But they're being a little misleading because they didn't get permanent press credentials. They got a daily press pass. And apparently that's much easier to get, and they give it to, like, you know, students who are visiting and stuff like that. So InfoWars being misleading as usual here, but yeah, there's still a story. This is still a story. I think it's still worth talking about. Now, why? Why is it still worth talking about? Well, for those of you who don't know, this guy Jerome Corsi, who I just showed you a tweet from, he went on a crusade trying to prove that Obama is gay. For, like, there's levels of conspiracy theorists, and you have to be, like, top conspiracy clearance to be on the Obama is gay bandwagon. But he even eclipsed that level of conspiracy theorist and created his own upper level when he said that Obama was part of a conspiracy where he tried to nuke North Carolina. Yes. InfoWars Washington Bureau Chief thought Obama was trying to nuke North Carolina, and Alex Jones himself of InfoWars literally thinks Obama is demonic. He always talks about, he smells like sulfur and there's always flies around him. He actually believes, we've covered the story, he says he's demonic, like he's actually demonic. Sometimes the Antichrist, sometimes demonic. Alex believes in interdimensional time travel. and he thinks the Sandy Hook massacre was a hoax. It was a conspiracy so that Obama could take all the guns. By the way, how'd that work out? See, that's, they say things and they just put them in this non-falsifiable box. Like, Sandy Hook was a hoax, so Obama's using it to come take all the guns. Okay, but Obama didn't come take all the guns. Yeah, okay, but it's still a hoax. But then your entire motive is gone. There's no more motive. He didn't take the gun, so what are you talking about? Doesn't make any sense. That's not true. Well, it's still a hoax. But that you said it was a hoax. Why? To take all the guns. But they didn't take all the guns. So what happened? They just did the hoax for funsies? Like, yeah, let's stage the thing, and then we're doing it for nothing, no reason. It's not a hoax, you fucking idiots. Okay, so you ready for this gigantic twist in the story? This is such a big twist, it'll make your head spin. I don't care that they have press credentials. Now, that requires a little more explanation and a little more context. So, I do care that the way they make the decision is just utter bullshit. Like, they will give it to any fucking shitty establishment outlet. Like, take CNBC, for example. CNBC... right before the subprime mortgage crisis and the Great Recession, all of their hosts said the market's going to be fine, there's going to be no downturn. So they were objectively wrong about one of the biggest events in modern history. And they say we're financial experts. And this is something that a financial expert would know. None of them knew it. None of them. But they're still like, yeah, totally legitimate. Why? I don't know. I say so. So we're just going to go ahead. They get press credentials. Now, other people, there are many left-wing outlets who saw this coming from a mile away. Then they don't get press credentials. I know many progressive outlets, independent progressive outlets, who tried to get press credentials. No, you can't get it. So establishment outlets who are wrong about everything can get it, but outsider, independent progressive outlets, no, you can never get it.
So, but to me, the solution isn't, hey, let's ban more people and more outlets from going in there. My solution is the exact opposite. If you're going to have the White House press briefings, let everybody in. Let everybody in. Whoever wants a press pass should get a press pass. I don't give a fuck if it's a centrist establishment bullshit outlet. I don't give a fuck if it's a right-wing outlet. I don't give a fuck if it's a communist outlet or a white nationalist outlet. To have a process wherein the government ascertains and determines which outlets are the most legitimate that we're going to allow in the room to hear us talk, no, I think that's fucking gross. And I would let everybody in. I would let because it's not the government's job to determine what is and isn't fake news. And, you know, hey, let me tell you who I'm going to give credibility to. No, let them all in, credibility or no credibility. I don't give a fuck. It's just you talking, the government talking. Now some people say, well, look, the room's not big enough. Get a bigger room. Get a bigger room. Do it. So I really don't give a shit. I mean, look, as far as that different outlets go, they're one of the dumbest, if not the dumbest. I mean, there's InfoWars, and then there's WorldNet Daily, who are just the worst of the worst. WorldNet Daily ran stories about, you know, when Obama did his trip to Africa and he was in, like, Kenya or something, there was a little, like, glitch in the camera, and they said – they played that video and said, look, a demon ran in front of the camera. I'm not kidding. This is – and they ran it, like, as if it's fact, like a story, like, breaking! Demon runs in front of camera because Obama's there in Africa. So – don't mistake what I'm saying as me saying, well, look, they have credibility. No, they don't. They have no credibility whatsoever. But I don't care. I would still give everybody press credentials, even though the dumbest among us, the smartest among us, whatever. Just give it to everybody because I don't like the vetting process of, like, you're legitimate, you're not legitimate, because the government is guaranteed to get that wrong, and they do get that wrong. That's without question. So the fucked up angle of it is, you know, if InfoWars gets something that other outlets do not get who are much more legitimate. But in this case, I'm not even sure that happened because it's day pass versus, you know, permanent press pass. Okay. Now, let's move along to Julian Assange. The Wall Street Journal is now hosting articles calling for brazen violations of international law. Stay classy, Wall Street Journal. So look at this. The U.S. can get Julian Assange. Avoid extradition and use Secret Services to airlift him to stand trial in America. I don't even want to get into the article. He cites examples of, like, hey, it's been done. The Supreme Court said it's cool. He cites fucking Rehnquist, far-right lunatic on the Supreme Court. Hey, he said it's okay. And he talks about, you know, it could be done with terrorists and DEA, you know, drug criminals. And he's saying we should fucking kidnap Julian Assange. That's the article he's writing. Okay, a guy named Seth Lipsky wrote this, and he's mad because Sweden finally dropped their bullshit rape charge against Assange. There were these just totally mucked up bullshit charges, and then it's been a long time now, so they were like, oh, okay, we're dropping it. There was never any legitimacy to it, credibility to it in the first place. So what charges does Seth Lipsky even want to kidnap Assange? For what do you want to kidnap him for? Like, what's your argument? What's your claim? We have to get him because fill in the blank. He's not even a U.S. citizen, Julian Assange. So let me get this straight. He wants the U.S. to kidnap somebody. He doesn't even have the charge he can name against this person, and they're not even a U.S. citizen. Court go in any court that's not a fucking, you know, show trial. How would that trial go? They get the fuck out of my courtroom. You kidnap somebody. You don't even have specific charges. He's not an American citizen, and you want him to go in front of an American judge for what? For what? And literally the worst defense lawyer in the country could say, yeah, you violated roughly 37 different protocols and rules and laws just to get him in here. Free to go. Free to go. The judge would have to say, oh, okay, yeah, you're free to go. What are you – this fucking delusion and this blind hysteria against WikiLeaks and against Julian Assange. And think about how dumb the principle behind the article is, because once you open this door, Seth, there's no shutting that door. So now you've made it so that you've set a precedent where other countries do that too. So you're so, oh, we got to get Assange because of stuff and things. He, like, released information that was totally credible and exposed war criminals and exposed corruption at the highest levels of government. So we got to get him. Okay, so what would prevent, or why wouldn't Iraq kidnap George Bush and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz and all the architects of the so-called war on terror? I mean, the U.S. did an illegal war, an offensive war against a country that didn't attack us, occupied it, still occupying it to this day, at least 200,000 innocent civilians dead, set up a worldwide torture regime, do drone strikes all the time, extrajudicial killings, get civilians 90% of the time. Literally, that's what the drone memos from the government documents back and forth proved. So what's to stop anybody? Okay, I'm going to arrest. Let's go do a special operations task here where we go kidnap Cheney, we go kidnap Bush. Why not kidnap Obama? It's like Obama didn't. Obama killed a 16-year-old American citizen with a drone. No trial, no nothing, no due process. She killed him with a drone. Okay, so why can't Pakistan or Yemen or why can't they? Come on, we're just go kidnap them. How would everybody react? Oh my God, what terrorist did it? But if we do it to Assange, who there's no real charge against, that's cool because we're able to do it because we're above the rules. No, you're not. You're a fucking moron. You're a knuckle-dragging moron who's not objective, who doesn't look at things in a clear way, who doesn't apply the same standard to yourself that you apply to other people. And again, you got nothing on Assange. What do you have on Assange? He released information that exposes bad things, and we don't like that he exposes bad things because the bad things that were done by powerful people, so let's bring them down. What a fucking moron, man. Jesus Christ, this guy's so stupid. Oh, it just makes me sick. Like, to kidnap him. It's cool, cause it's cool when we kidnap. You know, that just whatever. We get to kidnap. It's just a thing that, you know, whatever. It's a quirk. It's a little, it's whatever. We just get to kidnap people who didn't do anything, who are heroes, who expose war crimes and give documents on powerful people who are doing fucked up shit. But, yeah, we can get them. No, this is, see, Julian Assange is doing what actual journalists are supposed to do. See, the state of corporate media in the U.S. is journalists are just stenographers to power. Hey, what did you say? Here, let me write you Pentagon talking points and release it, and newspapers run it as if it's fact. How about you fact-check them? How about that? Oh, what did the Pentagon say? Well, that seems like bullshit. Let's check it and run the fucking fact-check and talk about how they're liars. You're supposed to be a watchdog of those in power. Corporate media doesn't do that. They just listen, hey, I'm going to be the establishment's bitch and write whatever. So along comes Julian Assange, who actually questions people in power and has documents to prove that they're bullshitting you, and he's public enemy number one. People are so stupid, man. I can't. Seth Lipsky, you're an embarrassment. You're an embarrassment. Go pick up a fucking hobby. Go do lawn bowling. Go fucking take your mother to brunch or some shit. But just get away from writing shit. Stop embarrassing yourself. It's clownish. Okay. Oh, now we go to MSNBC. Oh, buckle up, bitch. We have some big media news for you. There's been a sea change in the industry. This is from The Hill. MSNBC wins cable news weekly war for first time ever. Wow. So Fox News also came in last for the first time ever. They've been number one on that mountaintop since they launched. So, we got some big changes are happening. Let me go ahead and give you part of the article here. They say, MSNBC finished first in the key 25 to 54 demographic and in total viewers, against his cable news rivals last week for the first time in his 21-year existence, according to Nielsen Research. Overall, MSNBC finished second in all of basic cable, only falling to TNT, which aired several NBA playoff games. Fox News finished third in primetime for the first time in nearly 17 years. For the week of May 15th, MSNBC's weekday primetime averaged 2.44 million total views, with Fox second at 2.405 million and CNN third with 1.649 million. For adults aged 25 to 54, MSNBC averaged 611,000 viewers. CNN finished second with 589,000 and Fox third with 497,000. In terms of individual programs, The Rachel Maddow Show at 9 p.m. continued its ratings roll, finishing as the most-watched non-sports program for the week in all of basic cable. If you had told me 2 years ago MSNBC was number one in the ratings, I would have said, oh, good for them. You know, they're not truly progressive, they're not truly liberal, but, you know, is by far and away the best of the three options, so great. You know, kudos to them. You tell me this now, and I think it's bad, and I think it's, in fact, it's dangerous. Now, why do I say that? What's MSNBC been covering nonstop the entire time Trump's been in office? Russia, Russia, Russia. So it turns out Russia is good for the ratings. It's good for that. When they do their Red Scare bullshit and base entire segments and entire shows on assumptions and innuendo and you filling in the blanks in your own head with, you know, the deals Trump is making, they're covering garbage. They're not covering real issues. Rachel Maddow, 53% of her coverage since Trump's got elected has been on Russia. It beats all other issues combined. And now she's number one. So what they're going to do here is take away the exact wrong message. We must be right because we're covering Russia, Russia, Russia. That must be correct. Well, no. Fox News, like I just told you, was number one in the ratings forever. They're the behemoth. They were also number one in the ratings by a mile and a half when they were screaming Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Does that mean they're right for screaming Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi? No. And look at the numbers. So they get a total of about 2.4 million people watching them. It's good. It's up there. Number one. Number one in cable news. Number two in all of cable. So they're doing good, relatively speaking. There's 320 million people in the fucking country, though. So as you cater to 2.4 million people, you got most people are looking for, I don't know, discussion of real issues that affect them. Hey, I can't keep my fucking light bill on this month. Medical costs are going through the roof. Medical bills are one of the top causes of bankruptcy. Half the country makes $30,000 a year or less. 45,000 people die every year because they don't have access to basic health care. We got 7 wars going on overseas. Flint doesn't have clean water. Our infrastructure gets a grade of D. Trump just signed a bill that gives away your internet privacy rights, a bill that only 6 or 7% of the American people agreed with. There's real shit happening in the world. And MSNBC, Russia, 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 they get to number one in the ratings, and now they're just going to learn, their takeaway from that is going to be, oh, let's double down on this, triple down on this, quadruple down on this, and they'll be screaming about Russia as we're on the brink of fucking nuclear war. It was like, you know, Donald Trump, to prove that he's not a puppet of Putin, maybe he wants to nuke him or something. Rachel Maddow argued that if Trump pulls troops from NATO's border, that means it's evidence that Putin has a pee-pee tape of him. So now the people who are supposed to be anti-war are now arguing that it's the right thing to keep NATO troops on Russia's border, which is a clear provocation and escalation. Yeah, just go to the brink of war with the nuclear power because, you know, it's a good idea. Not good, man. Look, as of right now, there is no option on TV of real coverage, real news, real discussion about serious issues. That's not on the menu. You have Fox News, which is Republican Party propaganda. You have CNN, which is a giant neutrality bias and false equivalence all day long, and has an establishment bias for both parties. And you have MSNBC, which is Democratic Party propaganda. So you have Democratic propaganda, Republican propaganda, and propaganda for both. There's not an option where it's, hey, that's the place where you go to get real discussion on real issues that are important and interesting and about things that matter. That's not an option. Here's my radical contention. If that was an option, people would go. People would go. It's that simple. People would go if that was on the menu. Well, look, it's on a different menu, the menu being on the internet. That's where we are. That's what new media is. That's what independent media is. And I just want to remind you of something. First of all, our advertising budget is $0 and 0 cents. We don't advertise anywhere. MSNBC, giant name recognition. CNN, giant. Fox, giant name recognition. They advertise fucking everywhere. They prop everybody up. They got billions in ad money that's just pouring in. These fucking Rachel Maddow makes like $30,000 a day. Us having zero advertising budget at all and just being one YouTube channel among millions and millions and millions of YouTube channels, MSNBC in the key demographic, 611,000, CNN, 589,000, Fox, 497,000. You know what Secular Talk gets in the key demographic on a given day? About 500,000. So we are competing in the key demographic with legacy corporate media with billions of dollars behind them, giant advertising budgets that are one of few options on TV. We're one of a zillion options online with no advertising budget, and we're keeping up with them in the key demographic. So keep everything in perspective and understand that this is the real media revolution. You're witnessing the real media revolution. The people who most of you guys watch online, that's the future. And the younger the generation, the more likely they are to get their stuff from online. So we will completely and utterly dominate them at some point. They're on borrowed time. They already had to do the disgusting trick that we've discussed a million times in order to keep up. The advertising money started to – there was a sea change towards new media. And then what happened? Oh, look at that. There's some hack articles against YouTube because some ads got on some hateful content. So they say, defund all of news and politics because of that. Isn't that curious? Right when news and politics on YouTube and new media, independent media, starts to have a real effect, they go, what? Defund them. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, take that money and revert it to YouTube TV, to all the fucking same media outlets that were just losing. They were just losing. So they have to cheat in order to win. That's what's happening. And that's why this show is mostly grassroots funded. You guys make up the bulk of the revenue for the show through patreon.com/secularTalk and tiny donations, which is exactly the way to do it and the way to go, and using our Amazon link. So it's just one of those things where you know for sure MSNBC is going to take the wrong lesson away. Their lesson is going to be double down, triple down, quadruple down on Russia, Russia, Russia. I don't care about the truth value of it. I don't care that as of this point, it's all innuendo and speculation, because there's not a single policy thing that Trump has done that has benefited Russia since he's been in office. None. Even the strongest other, even the Keith Olbermans and everybody, Russia, 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 Russia. Ask them, what has Russia gotten in return in this so-called deal? I'll wait. They don't have an answer. We still have sanctions on them over Crimea. The multi-trillion-dollar Exxon deal with Russia is still dead. They just said it was dead a few weeks ago. They're not granting a waiver for it. Trump bombed Assad, Syria's or Russia's ally in Syria, multiple times. What have they gotten? They've got nothing. So this is all speculation. Don't care. Run with it, because I don't know. Our numbers are good, and we're doing okay right now. Yes, but if you had a real progressive, a real liberal network that was interesting and entertaining, gave news and information, gave facts, and gave intelligent opinion, well, then, you know, I think it would kick everybody's ass. But that option's not on the menu. It's only on the menu online. And even given our institutional structural disadvantages, we're on our way to totally overcoming them. Okay. Okay, next. I think we're going to file this next story under what the fuckity fuck fuck fuck. I feel like this is just proof we live in some sort of a simulation. Florida neo-Nazi converts to Islam, kills neo-Nazi roommates for not respecting religion. Okay, and there's another part at the end of it, which is even more of a bomb dropped in the middle of the story here. Here's what they say. A Florida man killed his fellow neo-Nazi roommates after he converted to Islam and they did not respect his new faith, police say. Devin Arthurs led cops to the bodies of his former friends on Friday, but not before he also allegedly held two customers and an employee of Tampa's Green Planet Smoke Shop hostage with a pistol before he surrendered. Jeremy Himmelman, 22, and Andrew Onishuk, 18, were discovered dead of gunshot wounds to the upper body and head, police said. Arthur said that he and the pair had a shared common neo-Nazi belief, but that he recently converted to Islam. The suspected killer said that Himmelman and Onishuk, however you say that, disrespected his Muslim faith, and added that he was upset about anti-Muslim feelings globally and wanted to bring attention to his cause. It was not immediately clear how long the trio had lived together or how much time passed between Arthur's conversion and the eruption of violence. Arthur faces charges including two counts of murder, two counts of aggravated assault, and three counts of armed kidnapping. A federal complaint seen by the Daily News Monday said that Russell was another roommate of Arthur's, and that he had violated explosive laws. Russell had just returned from Army National Guard training on Friday to find the two dead men, according to the complaint, and was arrested a day later while driving in the Florida Keys. Federal authorities say that they found the compound hexamethane, triperoxide, diamine, as well as other bomb-making materials such as ammonium nitrate and the radioactive materials thorium and americium during a search of Russell's house and garage. Okay, let me explain to you just how insane all this is. Bunch of neo-Nazis living together, I think three or four of them living together. One of the guys converts to Islam, murders two of the other neo-Nazis that live with him. Okay, already, what is happening? And then when they go to search the place where they live, there was a third guy who's a neo-Nazi who lived with them, and he had radioactive materials that he was using to make a bomb. I'm quite literally speechless. How does any of this happen? So four neo-Nazis living together, one converts to Islam, kills two of the neo-Nazis, the other neo-Nazi was building a fucking like nuclear device in his house, and they just happen to stumble across it because of the murders of the guy who converted to Islam and then killed the neo-Nazis. What's missing from this? Is there anything that's missing from this story? That's all just so insane. And you know what I think the takeaway is? Like, there's an old Chris Rock bit where he talks about, I think it was the mass shooters at Columbine or something, and he talks about how, like, oh, you know, the news would be like, well, their parents didn't love them, and they had abuse issues, and they didn't have many friends, and that's what led them to do this. And Chris Rock's bit is, whatever happened to crazy? And I look at this, and I think, yeah, whatever happened to crazy? Like, if you're the kind of person who's so inclined to become a neo-Nazi, and then like that, just be like, no, now I'm a jihadist. What? That, to me, that I go, oh, the guy's off his rocker, he's crazy, and he would have found any excuse in the book to do violence. It was, like, in this guy's case specifically, it wasn't like, I am radicalized by the ideology of neo-Nazism, and I believe it is true. Oh, no, wait, now I read some shit online about ISIS, and I am radicalized, and I am a jihadist, and I think that is true. No, this is a dude who just was deeply disturbed and confused and had psychological problems, and there's fucking things are not firing right in the old cranium, and then he's just looking for some sort of excuse to just fucking kill people. That's what it is. In this guy's case, I don't, you know, you got to go case by case basis. Other people, many people are just brainwashed by the said ideologies, but in this case, this guy, I don't know. Let me find something, and I'll kill people. If, you know, back in the day, he would kill for any reason, is my point. He's looking for some reason to do it. And the fact that they stumbled across a guy building a nuclear fucking device, oh my God. So if this guy didn't commit the murder, you would have had this guy building a nuclear device? I got nothing for you. You don't feel safe? Yeah, that's reasonable. You shouldn't, because shit like this happens in this world. This is a thing that actually happened in this world. What do you do? I don't know. I go to work. I eat a sandwich. I come home. I fuck my wife. I take the garbage out. That's what it is. That's what there are people. That's what you do, because you're normal. You know what other people do? Yeah. I'm a neo-Nazi, then I'm a jihadist, and then I kill people, and then my other roommate is making a nuclear bomb, and that's it's normal, right? That's what people do. Okay. Let me squeeze in two more for you, and then we'll call it a day, skis. I have a pretty good example here of what I think is people being too sensitive. So take a look at this. More than 5,000 people complained to the FCC about Colbert's homophobic Trump joke. Earlier this month, Stephen Colbert referred to President Donald Trump, this funny Freudian slip, as Russian President Vladimir Putin's cock holster in a fiery, if tongue-in-cheek, rant that instantly sparked controversy. The Federal Communications Commission announced May 19th that it had received over 5,700 complaints from viewers about the May 1st episode of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. 5,700. With most condemning the host's cock holster joke, Politico reports. The nature of the individual complaints varied widely. Still, many pinpointed what they saw as the homophobia underlying Colbert's words. By using accusations of being gay as an insult, one Illinois viewer wrote, it implied that there is something wrong with being gay. A New Yorker felt similarly, telling the FCC, I really thought we left this kind of bigotry in the waste bin of history. Instead, I have to endure it during dinner with me and my husband's son. Viewers from both sides of the political spectrum were equally angered by the Colbert rant, even if their complaints differed in specifics. I know all you commie shills hate this president, one complained from Florida Red, but it is your job to keep these leftists from dragging this nation further into the gutter. Okay. Yeah. Get over it. I want everybody to get over it. So they say, like, yeah, it was split along partisan lines. Republicans were mad because, don't talk about our president like that. How dare you? Stop the leftists from dragging us in the gutter. But then there were left-wingers who were mad, who were like, I'm offended by the fact that you use cock holster, and that implies something is wrong with being gay. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I hate to have to walk through this, but we're going to walk through this for the sake of accuracy and clarity. Your mouth is only good to be Vladimir Putin's cock holster, is what he said. Do I find that joke funny? No, because there should be some sort of truth at the core of a joke that's like, ha ha ha, I see where you, there's no truth there. This is Russia hysteria nonsense. I don't find it funny. But your mouth is Vladimir Putin's cock holster. That means your mouth is only used to pleasure Putin. You would pleasure Putin what? If you are, you know, if you're so inclined to pleasure an authoritarian dictator who is a bad guy, who does horrific things, and who you care for, right? So the idea is you are performing a sex act to give pleasure to this guy who we should all hate. It's not saying being gay is inferior. Nobody fucking said that. Nobody said that at all. You know what? It's just oversensitivity. It's like when South Park did an episode, and I think this is – bear with me, because I think this actually explains it perfectly. they did an episode where, you know, they use in the episode a lot the term fag. Like, oh, this guy, that guy's a fag. And you go, whoa, how dare you be so homophobic? But the whole point of the episode is, why are you getting outraged? I don't mean that that person's gay. I don't mean that they're homosexual. I mean that they're fags. And you're thinking, what does that mean? They use, in the episode, they're using the term fag to refer to bikers who they're really loud and obnoxious with their fucking bikes, with their motorcycles. And so the bikers in the episode, they're you know, on their bikes, and they're like, and they make that noise with their mouth to be like, just to be obnoxious and to be really annoying. And like, keep it real. A lot of people, probably most people, look at bikers and they're like, man, fucking get away, fucking annoying with your loud and your loud bike and you're driving by and you're, yeah, I'm cool, aren't I? No, you're not. You're a fucking douche. Now move along. So, but they're using the word fag in that context. So when somebody says, ah, this fag over here, that doesn't mean I am against gay people and they shouldn't have equal rights and I think they are inferior. That's not what that means. Homophobia has, the word homophobia has to mean something. And to say somebody's homophobic, it means that person views gay people as lesser than. They don't think they should have equal rights. They don't think they should be viewed in the same light as everybody else. And they are inferior and we are superior. They are wrong and we are right. That's not what, in context is everything. With Colbert doing a joke about how Trump wants to pleasure Putin because he's Putin's bitch, at least in Colbert's mind, that's not him saying I think gay people are inferior at all. That's not him saying they're less than. It's not homophobia. And when you claim something like that is homophobia, you do damage to things that are actually fucking homophobia, like a hate crime against some gay guy because he's gay and the people at a bar or something don't like that the guy's gay, so they beat him with a lead pipe. That's homophobia. Don't fucking cheapen it. Don't do the same shit with, you know, oh, you disagree with Hillary and her support of NAFTA and TPP and the Patriot Act and the Iraq War. I guess you're sexist. That's what that is. And I'm not even a big fan of Colbert anymore, man. He was great when he was on Comedy Central. Now, I don't know, he's weird and he's not the same character. He's being himself, but his self is just a little awkward and I'm not digging it and it's not my thing. But whatever, to each their own. Point is, this is not like that you would use this as evidence of homophobia. It's just like, no, you're reaching and you're being ridiculous, and I think you know you're being ridiculous. So everybody, just fucking calm the fuck down. God damn it. You know what's possible to say? I don't think that was funny, and move along. If you're calling the FCC, what does that mean? That means you want to tell them, regulate it. Because that's what the FCC does. They regulate the airwaves. So you want to tell them, don't allow that. Stop him. What, do you want to ban him for making jokes that you disagree with and that make you feel slightly uncomfortable? What, do you want to have a Ministry of Truth go through everything and every comedian's monologue to determine what's politically correct and what's not? Piss off on the right and the left. The right wing, I'm so triggered that you went after Daddy Trump, who I love so dearly, who's my authoritarian leader, and I genuflect at his altar. Fuck you and your worship of this man-child. Fuck you. And fuck you if you're on the left and you can't distinguish context. It's okay to not like the joke. I didn't like the joke, but that doesn't mean that Stephen Colbert is now some sort of anti-gay bigot, and you know that's the case. New Gallup poll was released this week on the issue of creationism. It says, which of the following statements comes closest to your views on the origin and development of human beings? Now, the big headline from this has been, a literal creationist view is at an all-time low, and that would be that God created man in the present form. They say it's at a record low. It's only 38%. Wait, what? So people are celebrating that. Like, isn't that wonderful? Only 38% of people think God created man in present form. Yeah, no, that doesn't make me happy. I'm happy it's an all-time low, but that number is still way too high. We covered a story from, I think it was Gallup, just last week it might have been, of what percentage of people are now Bible literalists? And that's an all-time low, and that was 25%. So I think it was 25%. So if you were to ask me, hey, what percentage of people think creationism is true and that people were created in their present form, I would have said 25%, because 25% say the Bible is literally true. The logical conclusion from that is 25% will say humans were created in their current form. No, it's higher. It's 38%. That's much higher than 25%. So there are people who say, I don't think the Bible is literally true. Oh, but did God create you as you are in your current form? I guess 6,000 years ago, because that's what creationism is. And they go, yeah, that's true. By the way, another 38% say, man developed with God guiding. Man, ain't that a fence sitter? So people say, oh, yeah, no. Let's be serious. Evolution happened, of course, but God guided it. Oh, okay. Thank you. And then only 19% of people are correct who said man developed, but God had no part in the process. So, and even if you believe in God, like you could be a deist. A deist is somebody who believes, yeah, I think God created everything, but just like got the ball rolling kind of thing. So it's not a God that reads your thoughts or is directly involved in your life or anybody's life. Just, yeah, you got the ball rolling and, you know, hey, I created everything. And then that was 4.54 billion years ago. And then, you know, evolution happened and all that stuff is not God guided. Only 19% of people are basically deists, agnostics, and atheists. I don't know. I think that's sad. And I think, you know what is where the blame is squarely put for this? Education system. It has to be the education system. Because we live in there's no excuse. We live in a secular country. So we don't in public schools teach people, Adam and Eve, yeah, we don't teach them that garbage in public schools. It just doesn't happen. You're not allowed to do it. So you're telling me we don't teach that, but still 38% say we were created in our literal form, and another 38% say, yeah, it was God guided us the whole way, and only 19% say, yeah, we evolved and we developed and God had no part. We got to retool the curriculum. No more fucking around, man. I mean, just teach the fucking science as is. Don't give the bullshit. You want to talk about political correctness? How about the right-wing political correctness that wants to squeeze creationism or intelligent design into science classes or wants to teach climate change denialism alongside the actual evidence on climate change? No more of this right-wing PC bullshit. Science is science. Teach it for what it is, and then these numbers will change in a positive direction. Okay. I'm out of time, guys. I love you. We will see you on – tomorrow is Kyle and Corin, as you know, and we will see you on Thursday back here on the live show. All right. Love you. Mwah. Peace.